Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and Cheryl Gasser has joined me, Director of Talk Programming, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio, no matter when you listen, and today we're asking you to put something back in the form of money, as a matter of fact. We count on listener contributions to pay for just about everything we do, and your gift now keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. And Cheryl, we have some goals that we need to work on.
We sure do, Larry. I'm so glad to be here during Garden Talk, one of my favorite hours of the week, I do have to say. And last hour, a goal for Veronica Rickard's show, 25 pledges. We heard from 34 members.
Excellent.
Thank you so much. But now a new hour and a new goal, 70 pledges for Garden Talk. And I know we can do it. I know we can do it. We got some special thank you gifts we'll talk about in a moment. But let me just let you know that these hourly goals, the reason we have them, they're so important because they help us stay on track to raise the funds that we need to keep these great discussions going on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment now, think about how much you value Wisconsin Public Radio, and make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we'll be talking to Mark Dwyer. Mark's Director of Horticulture at the Janesville Rotary Gardens, and Mike Maddox. Mike, Rock County Extension Horticulture Educator and Director of Education for Rotary Gardens. And of course, they're talking about gardening today, so we'll talk about flowers and trees and shrubs and discussions like this, and Garden Talk in particular is a very popular program. These programs are made possible because of your financial support. So I hope you'll join us. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we have a little promotion to go along with it. If you pledge at least $60, we'll send you a copy of the 2011 Rotary Botanical Gardens calendar. It is a gorgeous calendar, and I'm sure we'll be talking some more about it as time goes on. The important thing, make a gift, $60 or more, we'll send you a copy of the calendar, but make your gift any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it is so easy to give, whether it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. And again, for $60 a year or more, we'll be happy to send you the beautiful Rotary Garden calendar. It's a lovely wall calendar, lots of space for writing whatever you have going on month to month, and just a beautiful thank you gift from Wisconsin Public Radio. Now, if you're wondering which payment method might be the easiest and most convenient, let me recommend EFT. Those, Larry, are ongoing monthly transfers from your bank account. Yeah. Once they're set up, it is so easy. You don't have to think about it. That's how I give to Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's done. It's easier for you. It's easier for Wisconsin Public Radio, and cost effective, too.
I write a couple of checks a year, but I can see the virtue of the EFT. I can really see the virtue of it. And I can see the virtue of our programming all across the day, as a matter of fact. You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation, and your support makes it all possible. So please do pledge now during Garden Talk. Pledge for Garden Talk and for the station you rely on and enjoy. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we know you're donating because of the wonderful programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry's show, 5 days a week, Garden Talk. What a wonderful program, a real favorite for many of you. And we're pleased to be able to give you something a little extra for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio, the WPR member card. And Larry, tell us, I know you use a member card. Tell us about it.
Well, the member card gives you 2-for-1 entrees at participating restaurants, and it gives you 2-for-1 deals at B&Bs and golf courses and cultural attractions. And, you know, you could go for a weekend, go to a B&B, you can pick and get 2-for-1. You can go out for dinner while you're at the B&B, maybe play golf on the weekend, and you've done it for half price.
You've saved money by being a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's yours for a pledge of $120 a year or more. And if you pledge at that level, not only will you get the member card automatically, you will also get the Rotary Gardens calendar. So please make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Goal of 70. Help us meet that goal. Again, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And now I'm really pleased to welcome back a couple of old friends. As a matter of fact, Mark Dwyer. Mark is director of horticulture at Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. Mike Maddox. Mike is he's director of education there. He's also a UW Extension horticulture educator. So great to have Mike. Great to have you back.
Good to be here.
And tell you what, Mark, great to see you again too.
Likewise, Larry. Thank you.
So what's going on at the Rotary Garden?
Lots of good things.
Yeah?
We had a little bit of light frost recently, but the gardens are holding strong in terms of color. Things are looking great. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention tomorrow we have an extension of our plant sale. We're going to be selling bag compost, some bulbs, and some neat items between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Saturday,
excuse me. Yes, and it's one of those great things that is not only a fundraiser for the gardens, but will, of course, allow you to get out in your garden with some nice materials.
Oh, absolutely. What kinds of, Mike, when you, I'm sure you see a lot of people every day at the Rotary Gardens and you hear in your extension capacity, what are some of the kinds of things that are coming up? One or two stand out at all? Or has it been a pretty good season this fall so far?
It's been pretty quiet,
yeah.
Which I've been thankful for. There's been enough going on. I haven't been too tied down with questions. I just kind of look at this week, and we've had some misapplication questions regarding pesticides.
Wow.
Some transplanting questions for some oddball things out there. And I've had the start of the box elder bug questions.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're probably going to see more of those type of questions coming up in the near future.
Well, let's give our listeners a chance. If you'd like to join in, call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and let's take some questions. Rebecca in Platteville, we'll turn to you. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I have two questions.
Okay.
One is I have a sack, a pound of mixed seed. Most of it is perennial, but there are a few annuals in there. There's like coneflower, coreopsis, Shasta daisy, poppy, prairie clover, and then there's a couple annuals, a candy tuft, and a couple others. Anyway, my question is, should I plant them now, spread it out now, or throw it in the freezer and wait till spring? And then my second question, or do you want that one first?
Well, we can start with that one. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I think you certainly could sow that very shortly here. My concern is with the warm-up, you might get some early germination of plants that'll then be frosted down. So if you're going to do a fall sowing, I would wait maybe 2 weeks and throw it down and see what comes up. You may want to sprinkle some straw over it to discourage the birds from pecking away at it. The other thing you certainly could do is save it. Don't put it in the freezer. Put it in the refrigerator in the crisper drawer and sow it in April, late March, early April, and then see what comes up as the soil warms. The concern with those seed mixes is some things will be more aggressive than others, and whenever I hear a seed mix with Shasta daisies, those mixes ultimately become primarily Shasta daisies after a couple years because of their reseeding nature. So get to know the individual plants in your mix and decide how you want to approach it.
There you go.
And the second question is, I was at a little rural food stand or whatever you would call it. They had the pumpkins and stuff, and it was unattended, but there was a little price list and a little place to put your money. And in there in the back was two pots, one, and they were identified only as fireweed. And I don't know, I bought one for $1.50. It's about 2 feet tall, very, very soft, a lime green, extremely tiny, long, little, like, the leaves are real long and narrow, and it's really soft. But when I looked under Google, under fireweed, what I saw there did not look like this. You have any idea what I might have bought?
Probably some sort of local name for a plant, I would guess. But
well, that's one of the problems with the common names is, we may not all know what it is. But if that's also a younger stage of it, if you gave it time to grow and when it matured, maybe, then it'll look like something you'd see on the internet.
And is that okay? I mean, is it aggressive? Have I planted an invasive weed, or am I okay?
Well, I don't know. Mark, what do you think?
Well, you know, as Mike alluded to, common names can create a lot of confusion. But fireweed, if there's any Latin on it, I think the Latin is epilobium or something similar to that. But it's called fireweed. The true fireweed is something that colonizes open, truly after a forest fire, it colonizes open areas that now have more sunlight. And it can be have a receding nature. It can get extremely tall. But what you described as a narrow leaf plant, that's how I know fireweed. So I think you might have the true fireweed. But again, the concern as a garden perennial is it needs particular soils. And we've never established it at Rotary Gardens. And again, do a little more research into how it would fit into a cultivated garden. That would be my concern.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Sparky in Madison next. Hi, Sparky.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm a volunteer with the Goodman Community Center in Madison.
And yes.
We handle the water needs for about 115 community plots. We have about 35 to 40 faucets. And I'm going to be away after the 13th for the rest of the month, and it looks like the weather report is pretty good. I'm worried about frost dates. And what I have to do is ask the city to pull its valves and metering equipment, and then we disconnect our connections, and then I rent a compressor to blow out our two lines. And so I'm trying to get some inkling as to – I'm aware that the first typical first filling frost in Madison is October 4th to the 10th, but – doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And so what are your thoughts about...
About waiting or...
I'm sorry?
Are you asking about should you wait or should you do it now before you leave or should you wait or could you wait till you come back? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So, and you're coming back the end of October?
Coming back, yes, Halloween Day.
Halloween Day. All right, a little roll of the dice, but I got to believe. Are those pipes completely above ground? I'm trying to remember.
No, they're all buried 2 to 6 feet.
Oh.
And so.
Nah, don't worry about it.
And it's kind of uneven, so we have to blow them out and then protect the faucets, too, because they can freeze up.
Well, at Rotary Gardens, we will typically wait to early November because you have a good concern there. And if we have a warm October, you'd hate to have your system shut off and you're like, oh, boy, I really would like to be watering, particularly for our woody plants, our evergreens, to really get that root moisture there. You know, even if we have above ground frost, the soil temperatures are still very warm all the way into November. So I wouldn't worry about it. And we frequently will wait until early November to get a compressor and get all our lines cleared out. So I really think you'll be okay.
Okay. My worry is that there are some valves in the city metering equipment and also in our feed pipes. And so I don't want to have any responsibility.
Yeah, understood. But you know what you should do, too, is you probably should just talk to the water people, you know, the city. I'd talk to them, get them to buy in, and if they say wait till November, why don't you set up an appointment with them so on the 1st of November or the 2nd or whenever you've got that appointment made already, now a few weeks ahead of time, and that's probably going to be the best way to go. Now, I think all three of us think you're going to be safe, but I would check with the City of Madison Water people and just see what they have to say. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Mark Dwyer and Mike Maddox, our guests from the Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. Larry Mueller with Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take some more calls on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Mark Dwyer and Mike Maddox of the Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. And Jim in Green Bay, you are next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a hedge across the back of my yard of red twig dogwoods that's been there about 35 years. So I've been doing the renewal pruning. They're doing great. But in front of them, I have a row of daffodils that has probably also been there about 30 years, and they're getting, like, big masses. People have told me that I have to dig them up and split them, but with the mass of roots down there, I really can't dig a hole. wonder what I should be doing.
Okay. Well, Mark, what do you think?
Well, you know, I feel if there's not a loss of vigor with the daffodils, you know, we've had daffodils at Rotary Gardens for 20 years that we've done nothing with, and you're right in that they become very congested. They have bulb offsets. They essentially are reproducing and creating new bulbs. But if you're not having a situation where you're seeing just foliage and very little blooms, I mean, if they're still blooming well every April, I wouldn't worry about it at all, because you've described your potential nightmare, and that's trying to get through these roots, which, you know, are causing some damage to the dogwoods, just to get to these daffodils to divide them and then replant them. So to be honest, I wouldn't worry about it unless you do currently have that loss of vigor.
But on the flip side of that, Mark, I would have to say, if you're going to damage roots to a woody plant, a dogwood is going to be fairly forgiving, especially these red twigs. So if you do decide to get in there to do it, you know, come in next year, make sure you give them keep them plenty of water on them, and they should forgive you pretty easily.
All right.
Right now, the daffodils are doing great. Would you recommend, like, fertilizing them or just leaving them go?
Why mess with a good thing? If everything's looking good and it's just your neighbors telling you what to do, ignore them and just let the garden go. Sounds like it's going fine.
Okay, so just leave it go as long as it's doing well.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Janice in La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking my call and helping me, because I don't know much, believe it. I just know that I have a cedar tree. It's probably been here for at least 50 years since I've lived here. And I want to say it's, I don't know, I'm going to say 40 or 50 feet high. And I could be gone there, but it's a pretty good-sized tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, always beautiful, been here my whole life. This fall, it just blossomed out with all the seeds and it was just hanging, you know. So I've never seen a thing burst out like that. It was absolutely, I didn't know what happened. And then I thought, oh, well, look at all the seeds this year. I thought, this must be a year for the seeds. And then it turns, what do you call it, brown, gray, rust color. I went, what's happened? And now I'm like, oh, my tree is just dying, I guess.
Is it dying uniformly all over?
It is now. It's going all the way from the down, what do you call it, I think from the bottom to the top. And now I just have a little green. I'm looking at it, just a little green on the back side. Still seeds, bunch of seeds, but it's going. And now I looked over to my neighbors. I thought, oh, my gosh. Now she's got hers. She's got old bushes, old bush cedars or whatever they are. And now they're turning this rust color. And
Is it going all that color all the way to the tip, so the whole branch,
yes,
or is it only,
yes,
portions of the,
yes,
branch?
All the way through,
oh,
right.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, but the neighbor is doing it too.
Well, you the neighbor is, right, her bushes, yeah, but they're seemingly to go the way mine went, which was just, it started a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it just took over, and the whole thing's going bye-bye.
You've never noticed it before?
Never did this to this extreme, you're right. It's had some discoloration, I think, occasionally, but...
A couple things come to mind right away. First of all, cedars do change a bit of colors as winter approaches. The anthocyanins start to build up and kind of helps give them some winter protection.
Okay.
So you can maybe notice a purpling or a bronzing,
yep,
or just discoloration of the branches. And then they usually green up in the spring again.
So leave it.
Well, that's one hypothesis. Come on, I'm diagnosing things over the radio here.
Sure.
So the other thing is, what was I thinking? You said it put on a huge flush of seedlings, of cones. And a lot of times when our woody plants do that, that is a sign of stress. And you know, they're trying to get their genes and their seedlings out there to reproduce because they are under some kind of stress. I think the problem that we're having right now is we can't figure out via the phone what that stress would be. And
Mark, any ideas?
I think maybe a sample's in order. I mean, if the branches are getting crispy, if you touch those brown branches and they're crispy, I'd be very concerned. But Mike hit it on the head with the idea when there's a bumper crop of seeds, it's the later stage of a tree or stress where they're again trying to procreate, essentially.
Well, you have some options up there in La Crosse. You can bring a sample to your La Crosse Extension office. Take a branch, into there. I would even recommend taking some pictures of the landscape in with you, too, so they can see where it is situated in your yard. And that tells a lot of a story that we need to start gathering to answer your question properly.
Wonderful. Thank you for your help.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Clyde in Denmark, Wisconsin. On to you now. Hi, Clyde.
Good morning. People are busy cleaning up their gardens and harvesting and everything, but I want to remind people that now is the time when you should be planting your garlic. If you have a particular variety you like, or you can go to a garden center, Young's has a wide selection. There's a lot of different varieties of garlic, but now's the time to plant them here in October. They like a nice, deep, well-tilled soil, a lot of fertility. You can either use your 10-10-10 or whatever, or else rotted manure. Just take the big bulb, break it into the individual cloves, and plant them about 3 to 4 inches deep.
There you go.
There you go.
What do you think? That's pretty good advice, I think.
Sounds just like what the Master Gardeners did at the Community Garden this month.
Is that right?
Yeah, because we got the garlic in out there. I walked out there the other day. They had it all planted.
Perfect. Well, that's a good group. Thank you, Clyde. Appreciate it. And Mary in Duluth, Minnesota. Your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy this show.
Thank you.
I'm calling about a house plant.
Okay.
A Acelum philodendron. I've had it for years and years and years. And then when I moved to Duluth, I just took a baby, and it did really well. Until I repotted it about ago in Miracle-Gro. And now it gets great big white spots on the leaves. I cut them off thinking somebody told me that it was a virus. But somebody else told me that philodendrons don't like good soil. Do you have any idea what this is? I'm ready to throw it away.
Yeah.
I'd be curious about the white spots because I've seen variegated philodendrons before, which could be interesting to have.
I'd like to have that, but not this one, and then the leaves die.
Okay, if the leaves are dying, then. I will have to say with philodendrons and pothos, those two plants have always thrived on neglect for me.
Wait, philodendron and what?
A pothos. They're
how
often
do you spell that?
P-O-T-H-O-S. Many times people mix up the two. So I just usually lump them together. Both of those have thrived on neglect. I can forget to water them for like months at a time.
And they don't need a lot of fertilizer.
I had like all the soilless mix degrade, and it was just sitting in its own roots, and it was doing fine. I think it's when you try to be nice to this plant, it goes freaky on you. So I think by repotting it, one thing that a lot of people do when they repot their houseplants, they move it to too big of a container, and so they start getting root rots in there that may start to lead to some disease problems.
And then a big dose of nitrogen.
Yeah, and growth, get that extra growth going. I think my recommendation for you is if you can find some good, clean growth on it, break it off and try to start over with a new cutting and see if you have any success with it that way.
Okay.
Otherwise, pitch it.
There you go. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And, of course, I always appreciate it when I see Cheryl Gasser come by. She is with us to talk a little bit about giving now at our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I hope you will give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That helps keeps the programs on the air. And it only takes a couple minutes of your time, so I hope you'll invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Cheryl, we're moving toward reaching our goal. Slowly.
We are indeed, Larry. We are looking for 62 more pledges in the next 30 minutes or so. So a hefty goal, but we can do it because Garden Talk is such a popular show. You and Jim Packer do such a great job of bringing wonderful guests on the show like today. That's worth a pledge of support. Think of all you've learned. Think of all the money you've saved by listening to Garden Talk. Please help keep us on track with this hourly goal. If you've already given, thanks so much. But if not, let's hear from you now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge, and I hope you will, if you pledge at least $60, I hope you'll ask for the Rotary Garden Calendar. So every contribution of $60 or more, we're going to send you a copy of this garden. It's a garden calendar. It's beautiful. And, you know, you'd expect the April, May, June to be gorgeous, but some of my favorites are the winter scenes, the December scene. I just love the December. And these are, what, 8.5 by 11 photographs above the calendar, and then there's plenty of room on the calendar itself. But some very beautiful photographs that you will enjoy having up on the wall. As a matter of fact, I have one, and it will be up on my wall for starting in 2011. Yours for a $60 or more contribution by pledging now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Every week you hear different guests, wonderful guests, about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of questions. Other weeks, we get guests who specialize in lawns and trees, fruits and vegetables, native plants, organic gardening. The list goes on and on. So support this program where you get so much gardening information from great guests all year long with your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And listener contributions, your contributions make up nearly 40% of our budget. So the number of listeners who contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio is growing. That's the key to our strength. We're asking you to kind of jump on that bandwagon today. If you listen to Garden Talk in particular, I hope you'll call in right now with a contribution. Then you can go outdoors after the show and work in the garden and all that sort of thing. But give right now at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
Take a minute and think about how often you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it's every single day on your way to and from work, over the lunch hour with Larry and Chapter a Day, and then some more on the weekends. It's a really important part of your life, and your day would be different. Worse, I dare say.
Worse.
You couldn't catch your favorite program if you couldn't listen to Garden Talk every week. So make a contribution to keep this station that you rely on going strong. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Only takes a couple of minutes, and to make it easier, make the switch to being a sustainer. Sustaining membership is one of those types where you automatically renew. You choose a monthly gift amount. Maybe it's $5 or $10 a month. Any amount you can use as a sustaining gift. And then it's always automatically taken out of your account.
Until you tell us not to. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. And when you become a sustainer, we will plant a thank you gift, a thank you tree. Well, I should say we'll plant the tree, not the gift. A tree, a jack pine in Wisconsin on your behalf.
Shawamigan National Forest.
Yeah, wonderful. What a wonderful way, especially on Garden Talk. What a wonderful thank you gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Cheryl, you should get up there and take a look at that tree. You're a sustaining member.
I am.
Get a look at your
tree
up there.
All right. Have my name on it.
We have 61 to go here to meet our goal. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've had a great record on Garden Talk programs. Help us keep that record going. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And let's turn to Jeff in Warren, Illinois next, who has a question for you guys. Jeff, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'm going to try to talk fast because I remembered a second question I had.
Okay.
But I pruned arborvitae in the early spring 2 years ago, and I had a terrible dieback on those. And I pruned a walnut in the late fall last year, and it just dripped water like almost like a faucet. And I thought there was exceptions where there are some trees you didn't have to prune in the winter. But my second question is on Norway spruce. Around here, there's Norway spruce at every old farmhouse, but I've never seen a baby Norway spruce. And I have seeds coming off of my spruce right now, and they look like they're viable. But I've never seen a seedling anywhere from these types of trees.
All right.
Regarding pruning, there's a lot of different rules, but I always stick with a general one of, for deciduous trees, it's always best to prune them in that late dormant season. That would be February, March, and usually early April. And the reason we give that general advice is because on the tree's physiology, it's easiest on them there. And for homeowners who tend to go out there and only need to prune their trees a couple times a year, that's a good rule of thumb. Just go in that late dormant season. There are some other, depending on the species of the tree, there are some rules of thumbs for pruning. Like oaks and elms should always be pruned in the late dormant season to reduce the risk of Dutch elm disease or oak wilt problems. Some of your other trees can be pruned while they're actively growing, but I never would want to remove too much from them. And I would also always try to avoid pruning in the late summer, early fall, because if your plant is going to put on some new growth in response to that, that new growth may not harden off in time for the winter months, and you might get damaged that way. You said your walnut tree was oozing sap quite a bit from that late fall pruning. I don't know why it was doing that, but that would be one tree I would wait to prune in the early spring before it leaves out, just be on the safe side. For what you did to the arborvitaes, I'm not real sure. I would think early spring pruning would have been fine unless you went back too far and pruned off all the green. Because if they're an older tree or an older arborvitae, they tend to have a green shell on the outside of them. And if you cut off that green shell, it may or may not grow back from underneath. I'm in a neighborhood that's about a 50-year-old neighborhood, and I have seen a lot of my neighbors cut off all the green, and they have these very ugly sticks now underneath their windows. They wait a year or two, then they yank them up and replace them with something else.
Now, there you go. Thank you.
I would say then there was the seedling question.
Oh, the seedling question, yeah. Mark, have you ever?
I'm not sure on that. You know, we have Norway spruce at the gardens, and we've never seen seedlings either. And I don't know if that's a condition of needing the exact conditions to germinate or if there's wildlife involved.
Fire,
so, yeah. Yeah, tough to say. I really don't know. It might be worth trying to germinate those seeds yourself, but I would do a little more research.
Yeah, be fun to try anyway. Thank you very much for calling. Michael in Green Bay, we turn to you now. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. My question is about overwintering some vines that are on the south side of my house, particularly a yellow clematis that is about 6 feet up on a trellis and a climbing hydrangea I put in this spring that is growing up the brick. Now, I've heard two different versions here. Some people say I should cut them back down to the ground, and others say just let them go. And I was my understanding that hydrangeas blossom on old wood, so I'm wondering who's right here and what I should do in the spring and when, how many seasons before I can expect blossoms on the hydrangea.
Well, I can address the hydrangea first and foremost. Don't ever prune it back. It's a woody plant. It'll bloom in a couple years for you. They're not extremely vigorous, so you don't want to lose any growth that you've attained during the growing season. So it'll foliate on that above-ground growth next spring. And at Rotary Gardens, we've had we probably have a dozen specimens, and they've typically bloomed within 3 to 5 years of being planted. Now, in terms of your clematis, the clematis are really grouped into two categories, those that'll bloom on new wood and those that'll bloom on old. So not knowing the variety of your clematis, what I would do is leave it. And next spring, see where it foliates. It's going to die back to a certain degree. Your stems and leaves will turn black, but you're going to see some active growth above ground, and just snip it back to there, and you'll get vigorous new growth, and in all likelihood, it'll bloom on new growth. Okay. At the gardens, we have a collection of 80 different clematis, and we prune them back every winter, and every one of them bounces back and blooms. So the majority fall.
Is there any benefit in mulching either of these vines over the winter, especially the hydrangea that's only about a year old?
I have climbing hydrangea in my yard, and I do nothing to it.
Okay.
It just, again, I think sometimes we try to do too much to these plants.
Well, sounds like my kind of plant.
Yeah. Well, I will say the one thing I've noticed with climbing hydrangea, it likes drainage.
Okay.
If you put in a place that's going to have a lot of moisture for any period of time, it may not be the happiest plant for you. Where I have mine, it's actually a foundation planting, but it's at a corner where I have all sand. So,
okay.
For me, you know.
Likes that.
Yeah, loves it. Mine grows like a weed.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Brooke in Eau Claire, let's go to you now. Hi, Brooke.
We've got a 70-year-old single pear tree on top of a hill, and I'm wondering, every year it's always bears fruit prolifically, almost every year it has. This year, just one little branch on the south side, way in the top of the tree. That's the only branch that put out pears. I'm wondering what causes that. And then a quick second question. My garden is full of foxtail. What's the best way to get rid of that with all the rain we got?
All right. With the pear question, the one thing that comes to mind is at the time it was flowering this spring, what was the weather like? Was the weather an extreme of too hot, too cold, rainy or something where maybe the flowers got killed or the could it be pollinated or something on those legs? If this was just a one-year thing, I would wait just to see what's going on next year. It's when you start getting this repeated lack of fruit set that we're going to look into the health of the tree. Otherwise, right now, I would just have to say it's a fluke. We got to wait and see until next year.
All right.
And we keep in mind, we had a weird spring of some really hot weather followed with some really cool weather, and that could affect fruit set.
All right. And see, did you have, was there another?
Foxtail.
Foxtail. Yeah,
I give that one to Mark.
Well, in terms of the foxtail, I guess I'm wondering specifically what you're referring to, because that's another common name that refers to a lot of things. But is it something that's reseeded itself through your garden?
With all the rain, this is the first year that it's really come up so, you know, throughout, like, the perennial rows and everything. And I couldn't stay ahead of it, so I kind of neglected it. But it's just, it's all out there now.
Right. The problem is it's integrated in your good stuff. So you still have time to continue to accomplish manual removal. But, you know, in terms of herbicide use, there's that danger of affecting your good plants. And, of course, we're all trying to minimize chemical use. So have a party and get your neighbors over and just go to town on it.
You know, and just to verify that it is foxtail, you might want to take a clump into Aaron, your horticulture educator up there, and just work on make sure it's ID'd so you do take the proper steps on getting it removed.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Mark Dwyer, Director of Horticulture at the Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. Mike Maddox, Rock County UW Extension Horticulture Educator and Director of Education at the Rotary Botanical Gardens in Janesville. Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in to this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guests Mark Dwyer and Mike Maddox. And Brad in Eagle is up with a question for you guys. So let's go to Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I don't have a question. Hello, Larry and Mike and Mark, but I do have a suggestion. Save your cardboard for next spring's garden. Two layers of cardboard in the garden, a thin layer of bark mulch. All items are reasonably attainable. You can get bark chips, Craigslist, what have you. Cardboard is attained anywhere. That works great. Spread it out through the whole garden, and then just box off areas with some 2x4s, make little frames, set those down, and that will be the only place you will have to till soil or pull weeds. It's a great way without using chemicals, and it's a little work in the beginning, but in the end, the next season you may have to add a little bit of a thin layer of chips, but you will be surprised at how effortless it can be.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan to me. What do you think, Mark?
Absolutely. I would just caution people with cardboard. Just make sure it's not any of the coated cardboards and avoid those that have dyes or any sort of printing. You know, just your straight-up corrugated cardboard. But again, a lot of them have waxy coatings or depending on their use, so just be wary of what you're using.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Brad. Appreciate it. Steve, that's a good idea. Steve and Marinette, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering if after my leaves fall off the beauty bush, if this is a good time to move it.
Okay, the beauty bush.
I would say most of our woody plants are best to move when they're dormant.
Okay.
Yeah, so now or before it leaves out in the spring would be my initial thought.
Yeah, I would second that and say in the next 2 weeks or do it in late April, early May. And beauty bushes can get extremely large, so we've moved a couple in the gardens, and we've cut them back severely, and they respond. They come right back. But it's a darn tough plant, so I think you would be fine either way.
That's why I have to move mine, because it is in a place where it can't get too big, and I need to give it more room.
All right.
And could I say hi to Kathy and her friends, who I know listen every week?
and that they should call in and make a contribution.
All right. Okay. You're my kind of guy, Steve. Thanks a lot. Kathy, did you hear that?
You're ratting out your friends who are listening.
Did you hear that, Kathy? All right, on to Annie in Janesville. Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Hi, how can we help you?
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Hi. I have a big yard, and I have lots of moles.
Moles.
And I'm wondering the best way to get rid of them.
Okay, just to verify, moles with an M. So they're making tunnels under the ground?
Yes, and they are eating all my vegetables. They love my tomatoes. They love my
Not a mole.
That's
no.
not a mole?
That's
no.
not a mole.
You got two different things going here.
Yeah, I don't know what that could be. That could be chipmunks. That
no,
could be a vole.
We actually caught one, and it's like 4 or 5 inches long. It looks like a mole.
Huh?
It could be a vole.
It could be a vole, which those run above ground and can make little tracks in your yard and can eat your vegetables. But moles live, with an M, live below ground, and I believe they only eat insects and grubs.
Yeah. And now, do you have tunnels through your lawn?
I have tunnels and...
All right, so you have moles, but you also have, you may have voles and, you may have caught a vole. So you probably have both moles and voles.
You know, Annie, you're in Janesville, you're in Rock County where I work. What you can do is just give my office a call, and we could have a longer conversation about this on Monday and get to the problem on whether you have moles, voles, or both.
I would bet that she's got both. And there are ways to get rid of moles.
Yeah.
And there are ways to get rid of voles, too. And certainly we can talk about that. There's been a really good one with a basket, put a hole in the tunnel, an active tunnel with a basket, get a rat trap, put some bacon grease on the trap, put the trap under the basket over the hole. And I've had one guy caught 9 moles that way.
Sounds like you're building the better mousetrap.
Well, it is. It works really, really well. It's one way to do it, and then you don't have to worry about cats or something else getting stepping on the trap, or birds, for example, landing on the trap. So that's one way to do it. But I tell you what, Annie, Mike's right. Give him a call over at the Rotary Botanical Garden, and they'll give you more details on it, and you'll be able to talk to them then. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you what. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Cheryl Gasser's joining me here. The goal of the campaign, hey, it's pretty simple, to raise the funds we need to pay for the programs you listen to. Because you value the program, please also take care of public radio. Do your part now. You can contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Cheryl, where are we here?
Well, Larry, we have a goal this hour of 70 pledges. We have heard from 21 members, 10 brand new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's great.
That's cool.
But you can do the math. Still a long way to go. We'd like to hear from 49 more members by noon today. And if you're already a member, we would love to hear from you with maybe an additional gift. If you want the Rotary calendar, that's yours for a pledge of $60 a year or more. But we know you pledge for the programming. So please help pay for the programs you depend on, like Garden Talk, with your contribution at any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, you decide the amount of your pledge, and please do ask for the Rotary Garden calendar when you do give $60 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We keep you informed and entertained every day. You get a lot of value, I think, from this program. Certainly Garden Talk, one of our very most popular programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. But Zorba Pastor on Your Health, What Do You Know? Car Talk, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Kathleen Dunn has a great show. I wish I could listen to it more. But I'm usually getting ready for this show.
You can stream it online later, Larry,
in our
archives.
Stream it out. That's exactly right. I'll tell you what, I enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You do as well. Make a pledge now at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552.
And I'll tell you, Larry, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today, right now, it's one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your day. Think about how your day is made up with work and cooking dinner and, you know, everything you do in your day. What 3 minutes could be more important than making a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio to keep this program going strong? You just give us your name, some contact information, how much you'd like to contribute. And remember, at that $60 level, the Rotary Garden calendar, the wall calendar, is yours for a pledge of $60 or more. And of course, please know that we keep your name, your information, safe and confidential. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love to listen to both the classical music and the Ideas Network stations because, well, it seems to me they're the only ones that are worthwhile to listen to. The Ideas Network gives opposing political views and allows us, the general public, to express our views about current issues. It's important for me to be able to come to my own conclusions about issues, and this is one way that I can do that.
And listener support is really so valuable and really so important to us. It's a big part of our programming, and this program is available to you right now. We want you to make your donation in support of this program and the other programs that you count on here. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now.
Listeners who rely on WPR are the most dependable source of income for this station, in case you didn't know. Maybe you can make a $1,000 contribution. That money helps the station be available to everyone, including those who maybe can't afford to contribute right now. So help us stay strong and continue to grow with a contribution of $1,000 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, Wisconsin Public Radio is a great source of information, not only about the garden and the flower garden, the vegetable garden, and all of Wisconsin, but the nation, the world, as well as the state of Wisconsin. You value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings to your life. I've heard that many, many times from people. You learn something new here every day. I do, year after year. It's a continuing education, and it's possible only because of the support of listeners like you. I'm usually pretty good at a cocktail party. I've got facts in my head from all of these shows.
I bet you do.
I've got little items that I've learned over the years. I've invested in my education. I contribute. I hope you'll invest in your education of WPR as well at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Are we getting any closer?
We are getting closer, Larry. We want to hear from 48 more members to support Garden Talk. We're inching along, but we'd love to hear from you now. Join Greg and Judy from Duluth. They pledged, and they say, why did we decide to support Wisconsin Public Radio? Garden Talk, Garden Talk, Garden Talk. Need we say more? No, you need not. Garden Talk alone is worth a pledge of support. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Judy. Help us stay on track for this drive. 48 more pledges for Garden Talk. Won't you be the next? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've learned about so many topics here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We've talked this week about insects. We've talked about birds. We talk about wildlife. We talk about travel, personal computers, prescription eyewear on this program. That's just to name a few of the recent topics that we've had on this show. Whatever it is, Wisconsin Public Radio is here for you, and we're watching for the latest information on topics that will interest you. That's what we're really looking for. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 a few minutes before the top of the hour. Please do it right now.
And remember, for a pledge of $60 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio, a wonderful thank you gift during Garden Talk, the Rotary Botanical Gardens 2011 calendar. It's a wall calendar with beautiful, very lush photos of the gardens in Janesville. The calendar has lots of space to write your events and reminders. All the holidays are in there. A wonderful thank you gift for your pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio of $60 a year or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to go back to that sustaining membership again. You've made that decision to become a member, but you're looking for the best way to fit it into your budget. Well, a sustaining membership is a good answer. You decide on a monthly amount to be deducted from your bank account or maybe from your credit card. A lot of people do it from their credit card because they get air miles or other things of that nature. You set it up and keep it going, and it's just automatically and done. And that really helps us. It's powerful because it's very cost efficient for us and very reliable for us. And I think it's convenient and affordable for you as well. So choose a monthly amount and become a sustaining member right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And to say thanks for your ongoing contribution, we'll have a tree planted in Wisconsin on your behalf and probably send you a calendar, too.
Wonderful. We know you pledge for the programming, but we're happy to send you these thank you gifts. Now, when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be adding your voice to the more than 45,000 members who already support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution in any amount helps you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, over 40% of our budget. Thank you so much.
So we have 46 more contributions to go before the end of the show. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mike and Mark are going to be with us through the rest of the program today, and they'll be back after a look at the news. But for now, why not make a contribution right now and a vote for Garden Talk? Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, visiting with Mark Dwyer and Mike Maddox, both of the Botanical Gardens in Janesville, Wisconsin, the Rotary Botanical Gardens. Excuse me, I want to get that right. Mike's extension horticulture educator and directs education at the gardens, and Mark is director of horticulture at the garden. So it's great to have them both with us to answer your gardening questions. And William in Milton has a question for you guys. So let's go there. Hi, William. Thank you for calling.
How are you?
Good.
You are a natural.
Oh, thank you.
I'm planting redbud trees and smoke bush, and I'm north of Milton where we had our big flood in 2008, and the ground is just completely saturated no matter how dry the weather gets. And what happens with the redbud is that it will thrive for maybe 2-3 years, and then it will just completely die.
Come
spring, it's dead. The smoke bush is the same thing, but it lasts a little bit longer, maybe 4 or 5 years, and then it just keeps dying off. And I got them on raised beds to keep them out of the moisture in the ground, but I'm just wondering if that the moisture in the ground is what's killing them.
Verticillium wilt, maybe?
Oh, you read our minds. Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what I was thinking, too. Mark and I are mouthing the word verticillium to each other. Both those plants are highly susceptible to a fungal disease called verticillium wilt. Or if you want to sound cool, you just go vert wilt. And this dieback you see can be what you just described, where the plant just completely fails, completely collapses. And you're like, oh, my, it died. It is soil-borne, if that's the case. And we would need to look at not planting either of those two shrubs or anything that's verticillium susceptible in that area. Now, this is just speculation. You can get this confirmed by taking a sample. Well, you're in Milton, so you'd bring it to me. And we could look at it, look for signs or symptoms under the bark, like vascular streaking. It'd be discoloration in the water-conducting tissues. Or even better yet, we could drop a sample off at the plant disease diagnostic clinic and have things grown on a petri dish to see if the disease is there.
That's great. Because the smoke bush will thrive, and it's just like it just...
And then suddenly...
Grows
boom.
Like crazy. Then it's like too much growth. And I don't know if it's because of the raised bed or because of the moisture below ground. eventually it starts to, you know, a branch will die off, another branch will die off, then pretty soon the whole thing's gone. We got to plant another one.
Yeah, and if you've got that dieback going on now, we could take care of it right away so you know going into the spring whether it's verticillium wilts or not.
So take a sample over to Mike at the Rotary Gardens and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, give me a call, yeah, and then we'll talk on by the phone. We'll set something up, maybe talk about some of the other things. But I think that's the route we'll, you know, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Okay. Mark was nodding too. We'd look into that. Then if that's not the case, then we'll talk about what some other problems it could be.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I've just learned that I want to bring this up because we have the Outagamie County Master Gardeners Volunteer Association is willing to match up to $1,000 during the next 20 minutes or so. So if you call in with a contribution now, whatever that amount, up to $1,000, the Outagamie County Master Gardeners Volunteer Association is going to match it. So your $100 pledge becomes a $200 pledge and so forth, or $500. Becomes $1,000, so there, or whatever the amount. $25 becomes $50. So I'm just going to tell you to go to WPR.org right now, and you can double your money here. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I wanted to get that in because we certainly don't want to lose out on that $1,000 or any of that $1,000 that the Outagamie County Master Gardener Volunteer Association is providing. We turn now to Mary in Shorewood. Mary, hello.
Hello. I am battling. I've got container gardens, a mini version of the square foot garden, mm-hmm. and some hanging pots and all kinds of goodies. And I'm battling chipmunks and gray squirrels. Can't keep them out of there. I've tried cayenne. They just put on sombreros and
yeah, away they go.
And I've put down a layer of steel wool, and that somewhat kept the chipmunks out, but the gray squirrels don't care. I'm looking for any suggestion.
Boy, animal control is always tough, because especially things with squirrels and chipmunks, and you know, when you get to deer and that and raccoons, if you just use one thing, they'll get used to it.
Yeah.
You always have to. To do proper animal control, you need to have like an arsenal of things you rotate through. So when we try the cayenne pepper, maybe the next week you come out with a bar of soap. They tell you. Maybe the week after that you come out with that rotten egg spray you put on your plants, which that'll drive your neighbors away too, probably. Then you come out the following week with something different, and it's going through that constant rotation to keep things mixed up. The other thing you can try are some scare tactics. The plastic owl. But just don't leave the plastic owl in one place. Move it around as if it's moving itself. Put, you know, maybe one day sneak a plastic snake in there. Again, that could freak out any of your visitors if you don't tell them first. But maybe one of those little spinny pinwheels that reflect light, though that does it more for the birds. You got to go through this whole rotation of things. Mm. And every week, maybe that's your goal. Every week, what am I going to do to scare away the animals? Having pets can help too.
Well, there's two cats next door, and that doesn't seem to bother them.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing that's going to be 100% unless you put those plants in question in a cage, and it's just going to be one thing you're going to be constantly battling.
Unfortunately.
All correct, right. Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's just something you can plan for in the future. I learned to quit growing tomatoes in my yard because the chipmunks always got to them before me. That's just the way it goes.
Mary, thanks, and good luck. Appreciate your call. Jonathan in Lake Tomahawk, we turn to you next. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question about transplanting white oaks. It seems to me that kind of the northern boundary form is like around Wausau, Wisconsin. And I've got a son that lives in Ringgold, which is probably 20 miles, maybe 15 miles southeast of Wausau, and he's got a lot of young white oak, you know, kind of underneath this great big white oak. And I was thinking if I could transplant those, they're about a foot to 2 feet high, and bring them up to some property I have in the north central UP. I know that's quite a bit north, but in the winter, I see that when I call down to those guys down in Ringgold, or my family in Antigo,
it's always warmer in the UP in the winter where I live, almost always, than it is around Antigo and Wausau. And so I'm thinking maybe
it'll work.
What do you think?
A little microclimate going there, maybe, where you live.
Well, definitely microclimate is something always to consider, but I was getting really hung up on the idea of digging up those seedling-grown oaks. That was where I was concerned about, because, okay. I mean, we've been moving plants all over the world for years now, from one microclimate to the next, and things grow or don't grow, and we figure it out. But if you have squirrels who plant the seed originally, and you have that oak seedling with the taproot that's gone down, if you just go in there and dig that up and transplant it, your likelihood for success is going to be a bit low. When you transplant trees from the nursery, there has been quite a bit of root pruning that goes on in order to give those trees a nice, dense, fibrous root system that will aid in the transplanting of that tree. When you're digging something up out of the forest floor, it has not gone through that root pruning procedure. You're going to have a very thin root system that's going to support it because it's got the taproot that's in place. One of the things that I've learned over the years that if you are going to be collecting some trees out of the wild, it may be a multiple year process. Maybe you identify the tree, go out there with a shovel and just do an undercut to sever the taproot, but you leave the tree in place to then form more fibrous root system up top. So then when you come back the next year or 2 years later, you have a root system on that tree that can be moved. Otherwise, I think what could be even easier is if you just collected the acorns from the area that you've identified and move those acorns up to where you want to grow the trees and just plant them directly.
Oh, okay, great.
I mean, that's a heck of a lot easier, in my opinion.
It's sure worth a try. And then you can take a whole batch, plant a bunch of them, and
yeah. And there's
always prune them.
And there's definitely some publications out there that would give you some assistance on doing some seeds from acorns.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, John. Janice in Antioch, Illinois. We turn to you now. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Thank you. The man that just called reminded me of something. I just collected some black walnuts, and I was wondering if I could put those out if they grow. Would I have to bury them, or could I just toss them out in the field?
Do what the squirrels do.
Bury them.
Yeah. You know, okay. Chew on them a while and then put them in the ground. Yeah, that should get it going. Well, keep in mind, whenever you plant the black walnut trees, though, they can kill other things around them. So just don't put them near your tomato patch.
Now, this is out in a field. It's not our property, and it's empty, and it's not buildable. So I just thought,
throw them out.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I'd give it a try.
I'd stick them
in the ground.
My question was, I have a bunch of things that have to be transplanted if possible. Rhododendrons that are on the north side of the house that are about 10 years old. Can they be moved, and can I put them on the south side of our yard under evergreens and oak trees?
Well, you certainly could try it, although I'd be concerned about the timing with the move. I'd personally wait until next spring, right after they're done blooming.
Okay, spring.
Right. Don't do it now because the issue is, are they evergreen? Are they an evergreen rhododendron or an azalea that would lose its leaves?
I think...
Do the leaves stay on over the winter?
Sort of.
Okay.
The buds are on. They're, like, forming and...
Right. Yeah, see, they're budded for next year, and the risk in moving them now is just having them dry up. So I would wait until right after they're done blooming and then move them and just really keep them well watered. And not knowing your site specifically, it's tough to say if the new location will be good for it, but... You know, acidic soils and perfect drainage is important for rhododendrons. And at our gardens, we have very few that do well simply because of pH issues and drainage. So,
well, that's the reason I was going to move them over there is because the grass isn't growing because of all the falling from the white pines and evergreens and needles and everything.
You know, before you go through all that work, you might want to do a soil test just to make sure that the pH is correct. Because rhododendrons do like a very low pH. Before you put all that sweat equity into it, just, you know, figure out if they're going to grow over there, too.
Well, the spot that they're planted in, we had dug a 2 or 3 foot hole and filled it just with peat and planted them.
Yeah, and that's good, always good for the short run, but whenever you're having to deal with soil issues, soil pH issues, maintaining that will be an ongoing annual thing. It's not something you sprinkle on some lime or acidifier and walk away. It's something that needs to be done on an annual basis.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Mark, we've been talking about that 2011 Rotary Gardens calendar, and who took the photos for the calendar? Do you? I mean, these are some gorgeous pictures.
It's almost like you set that up, Larry. Actually, I took most of the pictures. They're some of my best photos of the gardens, and we have another photographer that's contributed. But as you alluded to earlier, they're very seasonal in nature, and it's a high-quality, thick calendar, beautiful photos, and lots of grid space to put your activities on it. And we've been selling it like crazy at the gardens, and it's a great time of year to start planning for next year and have your calendar ready to go.
Absolutely, having it ready to go. And speaking of ready to go, Cheryl Gasser is ready to go, and she's with me here. And I want to say thanks, by the way, to everybody who's contributed so far or who has already contributed during any part of the fund drive. Of course, we want people to contribute right now, but as a nonprofit public radio station, we rely on you for a large chunk of our income, nearly 40%. If you haven't given, now's the time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we have a dollar match. I talked about it a little bit briefly earlier, Cheryl, but give us more.
Let me tell you some more, Larry. A dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $1,000. So you give $50, it becomes $100. You give $500, it becomes $1,000. It's a generous challenge offered by the Ottawgamie County Master Gardener Volunteer Association, their way of encouraging you to help grow Wisconsin Public Radio. Get your pledge doubled right now at any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation here with Mark Dwyer and with Mike Maddox. They do a wonderful job. They know an awful lot about gardening, obviously. So I hope you'll take a few minutes now during this hour and maybe in the many hours to come to give a contribution. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we ask that you make a contribution that is comfortable for you. Some give $60, and at that level, you can have the Rotary Garden Calendar, the wall calendar for 2011. Some give $1,000 or more. Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support great programs like Garden Talk, and in turn, you get to stay informed and entertained. So give now whatever the amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's something from a Wisconsin Public Radio listener.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Great to hear from her, and great to hear from you as well. I love the calls that we get every day here on the Ideas Network. The Garden Talk program in particular is always a lot of fun for me, and I hope you'll take time now to support Garden Talk. Put a vote in for Garden Talk with your dollars here. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Maybe your gift is $50 or $100 or $500. Whatever the amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 in effect right now. And so far, Larry, $560 pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio, doubled. Thank you so much for your contributions. But still, we don't want to leave any of this challenge money on the table. This is a challenge offered by the Ottawgamie County Master Gardener Volunteer Association. So what that means is you pledge 50, it turns into 100. 100 turns into 200. You get the idea. So please take advantage of this match just for the next 5 or 6 minutes. Take advantage of it to give Wisconsin Public Radio even more money to pay for the great programs like Garden Talk. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, at the end of a program, of many programs, I've heard guests say, boy, what great listeners you have here and what great contributions they make, great questions. And so I want to thank you for being such thoughtful, active listeners. And I also want to thank you for your financial support, which makes it all possible. If you haven't pledged yet, please do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we heard this hour, Larry, from Nancy in Appleton, who made a pledge and says, Wisconsin Public Radio is a gift every single day. Thank
that
you.
Is cool.
Well, thank you, Nancy. It's true, though. Think of all the wonderful things that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio and what it is worth to you, and make a pledge. $1,000 challenge this hour, still on the table, still time for you to double your pledge at any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please do it now. The Master Gardeners have been great supporters, and I want to thank again the Outagamie County group. They've been wonderful supporters. I wonder if you know that Master Gardeners get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk. That just goes to show.
How cool.
And that, it's a valuable resource of Garden Talk is for our listeners. And I think that kind of proves it. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice. We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions. And I don't care if it's mulching or pruning or weeding or planting. Apply a little fertilizer to the program right now here and make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We made that challenge, Grant.
Oh, we
Larry.
Made it.
Thank
good.
You. And then some, and then some. It's really wonderful. But you know what? Keep those calls coming in support of Garden Talk here on Wisconsin Public Radio and all the wonderful guests that Jim and Larry bring you week after week. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.